Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Jeremiah 33, let's talk about prayer for a little bit tonight. Jeremiah 33, and again, I know I said this, but I was just trying to figure out what to do tonight, and I hated to completely cancel service, so I'm glad we still had a little Bible study. Amen. Good to see as many people as we got. Jeremiah 33, and I want to read a very familiar verse to you tonight and talk to you a little bit tonight about this thought, how to get God to answer our prayers. How to get God to answer our prayers. I'm interested in God answering my prayers. And can I say this to you? If it matters to you, it matters to Him. And I'll just say that again. If it matters to you, it matters to Him. There's nothing too little. There's nothing too big. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master tonight. And I want the Lord to hear my prayers, and I want the Lord to answer my prayers. Amen. And can I just say this to you? He will answer them in one of three ways. If we pray right, He'll say yes, He'll say no, or He'll say wait. And I can handle yes. I like that one. Somebody give me an amen right there. The biggest part of the time, I like yes. See, some things I'm glad that whenever I prayed it, He said no. And you say, are you serious? Yeah, you've heard me say this before, man. First time I ever had a kidney stone, I prayed and asked God to let me die. And I sure am glad God didn't say yes. Some of y'all probably sitting there going, well, I wish He'd have said yes that day. But I'm glad He said no to that prayer. Amen. I can handle no. I can handle yes, but that wait right there. Matter of fact, we was in devotions this morning at the sheriff's office, and our chief deputy done devotions, and he talked about wait today, and he was dealing with that, and boy, I struggle with that wait, but God does want to hear and answer our prayers, and I want to talk to you just three very simple, practical things, and I hope you got your Bible with me. We're going to use it a lot tonight. We're going to flip to a lot of different scripture. Miss Stephanie will probably get some of it up. I don't know that she'll get it all up, but look with me, Jeremiah 33, and I'm going to read verse number 3 to begin with. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, we have a promise from God that if we ask Him, He'll answer us. We have that promise tonight. But I want to talk to you, again, just give you three very simple, very practical things, nothing expository, just simple little things on God answering our prayers tonight. Number one, if we're going to get God to hear and answer our prayers, number one, we've got to approach God with the right heart. We've got to approach God with the right heart. It does matter how we approach Him. Can I just say it that way? Matter of fact, in the model prayer, He says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed it be thy name. And He's dealing with a reference or a reverence there. And it does matter how we talk to the Lord. Now, I want you to take your Bible and go with me to Psalms tonight. Psalm 66:18 is where I'm headed, Miss Stephanie. Psalm 66:18, and let me read you a verse here tonight. Approaching God with the right heart. If He's going to answer us, if He's going to hear us, and He's going to answer our prayers, we're going to have to approach Him with the right heart tonight. Can I say this? Our heart must be a heart of purity tonight. A heart of purity tonight. Here's what He said in Psalm 66, in verse number 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know what that means tonight? That means if my heart's not pure when I approach God, He's not going to hear me tonight. And I've had this discussion. I'm not going to say it was an argument, but I've had this discussion with a lot of people. God does not hear the prayer of a lost man. He's not going to hear it. And the only prayer that God hears of a lost man is a prayer of repentance. Whenever he prays and asks God to forgive him of his sins, and when he does that, he's asking Christ to come into his heart and save him. And that is a prayer of repentance, a prayer of salvation. And then at that moment, God will hear it. You say, why does he not hear the prayer of a lost man? Here's the reason why. He's got iniquity in his heart. He's got sin in his life. If we want God to hear us, our heart has to be right. We have to approach him with a heart of purity tonight. Sin has to be out of our life. Now, here in recent days, I've preached a lot about sin and dealing with what sin is and how so many times whenever we hear the word sin, we immediately think, well, you know what? I didn't go get drunk last night, and I didn't cheat on my wife last night, and I didn't cheat on my husband last night. I'm sitting in church on a Wednesday, cold Wednesday night, that most churches canceled their service, but I came tonight, and so I'm all right. But man, sin goes so much further than that. That pure heart is anger out of our heart, is malice out of our heart, is bitterness out of our heart. Today I've seen an individual that I'm not seen in a while, and the last time I seen this individual, the conversation just wasn't the greatest. And I don't say this all the time. If I'm in the wrong, no matter what my wife says, I'll eventually admit it. But this one time, man, I'm telling you, I had done nothing wrong. I'd done nothing but love the person and been good to the person. I'm not even going to say in the house of God or around anybody that professes to be a Christian, some of the things that they said to me. And I seen that individual today, and I thought, well, what am I going to do? And you say, well, what did you do? I walked up to them, hugged their neck, and told them I loved them. That's what I'd done. Let me tell you, they never apologized. They never said that they were sorry. Whether they ever do or whether they don't, if my heart's right with God, I've got to forgive them. I've got to forgive them. Is our heart pure tonight? Is there bitterness in our heart? And you say, well, preacher, bless God, I can forgive them, but I can't forget it. But you can choose what attitude you have. If we truly forgive them, why does it matter what they done? If we truly forgive them, are you with me tonight? If we're truly forgiven, you said, preacher, I've just been praying, and it seems that God's not answering them things, and I don't understand it, preacher. Well, can I ask you a question? Is your heart pure tonight? Because he said, if I've got iniquity in my life, if I've got sin in my life, God's not going to hear me tonight. So if God's going to hear us and God's going to answer our prayers, we've got to approach God with the right heart, and that must be a heart of purity tonight. Go with me to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, and I'm going to look at verse number 14. I know we could probably all quote this verse, but I want to read it to you. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this, and Brother Rodney, would you turn one of those TVs on back there just so I can see if she's with me or not? 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's Bluey. I don't need to see Bluey. Jet's interested in Bluey. He said, man, why'd you put the Bible up there? I want Bluey. Look what it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, that's us, that's the saved tonight, that's who he is talking to. Are you with me? If my people, here's what he says, which are called by my name shall humble themselves. You know, the very first step to this thing in 2 Chronicles 7:14 is humility. It is humbling ourselves. It is a heart of humility. And I want to ask you this question tonight. When we approach God, do we approach him humbly? I'll never forget Brother Milton Taylor in one of our men's prayer retreats that we done years ago. He said, boys, he said, we must remember we are talking to God. You know, sometimes I hear people pray and they go, God, you've got to do this. No, God don't have to do nothing. God don't have to give us a breath that we breathe. When we talk to God, we are talking to our Heavenly Father tonight. And we should approach him with not only a heart of purity, but a heart of humility. We should humbly approach God. We should, we don't deserve to talk to him. We don't deserve the blessings of God. We don't deserve what He's done for us. So who are we to go storming into the throne room of grace? You say, well, preacher, the Bible says, let us come boldly unto the throne room of grace and the effectual fervent prayer. I understand every bit of that, and we can approach Him with a red hot prayer, and we can approach Him boldly, but we can still approach Him with all humility when we do that, when we do that. So think about this. If God's going to hear us, our approach to Him, we must approach Him with the right heart. It's a heart of purity. It's a heart of humility. But watch this. Go with me to Mark 11. Mark chapter number 11, and I'm going to read verse number 24. Mark chapter number 11 and verse number 24 says this. Mark 11, 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. You say, preacher, what is approaching God with the right heart? Well, it's purity, it's humility. But watch this. If we approach Him with the right heart, we're approaching God with a heart of faith. We believe that God will do it. We believe that God will do it. Can I ask you this question tonight when it comes to our prayer life? When's the last time you prayed and thanked God for answering the prayer He hadn't answered yet? You say, but preacher, I'm not sure He's going to do it. Well, are we believing Him or not? Are we believing Him or not? I think a lot of times the reason we don't have our prayers answered is because we have a lack of faith of truly trusting that God will do what we ask Him to do. I heard one preacher say this. He said, it's not that I doubt that God can do it. He said, I doubt that God can do it for me. He said, I don't have no problem believing that God can do the impossible for you. But when it comes to me personally, I struggle believing that God would do it for me. I remember I hadn't been here long at all at the church, and we had that old white lightning van, and some of y'all remember that old van. And man, we needed another church van. And we began to pray about it, and we found one at the Ford place, and I looked at it, and I thought, man, there's no way. And I'll never forget Brother Wayne Owenby. I'll never forget. I was talking to him on the phone. And he said, why don't you just thank the Lord for giving you that van? And I said, but preacher, I know God's done that for you at Grace, but there was a church he pastored at the time. I said, I thank the Lord He's done it for you. He said, well, what about you? If He'll do it for one, He'll do it for all. And I'll be honest, I never prayed and thanked Him for it. And I got a phone call. I kept praying, Lord, if it be Your will, let us have that van. I got a phone call and said, hey, the paperwork's being done on that van. You just need to go by and sign for it. It'll be in the church's name. Everything's taken care of. And God gave us that van. You see, how many times do we really believe He'll do what we ask Him to do? Well, if our heart's going to be right, it's going to be a heart of purity, a heart of humility, a heart of faith. But I'm going to show you one more, and then we'll move on. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 7. Matthew chapter number 6, look with me in verse number 7. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 7 says this, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. We need to pray with purity, approach Him with a pure heart, a heart of humility, a heart of faith. But can I say this? We need to approach Him with a sincere heart. With a sincere heart. Pray with a genuine intent and not just empty words. You ever heard somebody pray and whenever they got to pray, and can I just be real with you tonight? In the backside of your mind, you're thinking, who are they trying to impress? You know, every once in a while, you ever ask somebody to pray over the food, and then the next time you go out to eat, you're going, I'm going to pray over food this time. I mean, you know, it's just not the time to bless all the missionaries in Africa. One said this, pray long in public, it's because you pray short in private. I'll never forget hearing that. I don't remember who said it, but he said those who pray long in public normally pray short in private. And in our prayer life, it's a prayer of sincerity. We go to the Lord just not with vain words, not just with empty-heartedness. What did he say? He said, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Now, that don't mean that we don't ask God for the same things each day. There are some things that I pray for every day of my life. I pray that before my youngins got saved, every day I prayed that God would save my youngins. That's not vain repetition. You understand what I'm saying? I pray that God sends them the right man to marry. And one of them thinks she's found it. Brother Brian asked me, he said, what do you think about this? I said, it's a long time between now and October. A lot of things can change between now and then. You want me to tell you what I pray each day now? Lord, if it's not right, stop it. Lord, if it's not right, stop it. That's not what that's dealing with. Sometimes people just babble on in their prayer. And our prayer should be a prayer of sincerity. So if God's going to hear us, number one, we got to approach God with a right heart. Number two, the simple things, we've got to align our prayer with God's will. Once our heart's right, our prayer needs to be a prayer according to the will of God. And you say, well, how do we do that? We'll go to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. I'll read you a couple verses. 1 John chapter number 5. He said this in verse number 14. You're waiting for me to give you the verse, aren't you, Miss Stephanie? I'm sorry. 1 John chapter number, I thought you could read my mind as long as we've worked together. Verse number 14 says this, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Verse number 15 says this, and if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Go back to verse 14, if you will, Miss Stephanie. Know what he says. This is the confidence. We can have confidence in our prayer. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will. I don't talk about my prayer life much, and if you've ever prayed at any length with me, in other words, if you've ever been somewhere, if I've ever took you to, and very few people have I ever taken to where I pray at personally a lot, but if you've ever been there with me and you've ever prayed at any length of time with me, you'll always hear me pray this. Now, Lord, over the next few minutes, I'm going to talk to you about some of the things that I would like to see you do, and, Lord, some of my will. But, Lord, I want them to line up with your will, and ultimately I'm interested in your will. God knows the desires of my heart before I even say them. Can I just say that to you? He knows what that is, but it's so important that as we pray according to God's will, and that is according to His Word. His Word tells us that if we ask anything according to His will, then He hears us. So we've got to pray according to His Word. James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4 and verse number 3. If you'll flip backwards just a couple of books, after 1 John, if you'll come backwards, you'll come to 2 Peter, 1 Peter, and then come to the book of James. James chapter number 4, and I'm going to look at verse number 3. James chapter number 4, verse number 3, praying and aligning our prayers with the will of God is to pray according to His Word. But it's not only that, it's to pray with unselfish motives. James chapter 4, verse number 3 says this, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. When we pray and ask God to fill our church, why are we praying and asking God to do that? Are we praying and asking God to do that just so we can say, man, our church is packed out, we're going to have to do something else? When we pray and ask God to fill our youth group, are we praying and asking God to do that just so when we go somewhere, we have the biggest youth group? Then we're praying amiss. In other words, we're praying with a selfish motive. When we pray and ask God to fill our Sunday school class, why are we praying and asking God to do that? One of the things that I have personally, again, I don't talk about this much, but one of the things that I've personally prayed this year is for God to give me more open doors to preach, and He's done that. Matter of fact, even yesterday I booked a couple meetings, and I'm thankful for that. But why did I ask for that? I asked myself that at the ending of last year. It was one of the prayer requests going in, my personal prayer requests going into the new year. It's not so my name can be on a poster somewhere. It's because the God of all glory called me to do this. And I get to go and represent Him and preach the gospel. That's why it's not a selfish motive. So whenever we're praying, our heart's not only got to be right, we've got to align our will with God's will in our prayer. Pray according to His word. Pray with unselfish motives. But Luke chapter number 22, I'll give you one more in this, and then I'll give you the last point. Luke 22, I know this is different, but it's all right. Luke 22. Verse number 42, Luke 22, verse number 42 says this. Aligning our prayers with God's will is to pray according to His word with unselfish motives. But it's also when we align our prayers with God's will, it's to pray with a life of surrender. What does He say? Saying, Father, which we know this to be Jesus. If Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. He said, and what was the cup? Man, we could talk forever. We could talk forever. I don't think it's death. He knows that He's going to defeat death, hell, and the grave. I don't think it's the crucifixion. He knows that. The crucifixion, can I just say it this way, is going to be temporary. You know, let me tell you personally what I think it was separation. For the first time in eternity past, we can't even comprehend that, honestly. He's just always been. There had never been a time that He wasn't with God. There had never been a time that God turned His back on Him. And what does He say? He said, Father. He's talking to his father. He's talking to His daddy at that moment. And He says, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not mine, but Thine be done. You know, it's interesting. Whenever that happens, He doesn't say, my Father, why hast Thou forsaken me? But on the cross that day, He addressed it this way, my God. Why hast Thou forsaken me? Because at that moment, He was no longer His Father. He was His judge. And all the wrath of the world at that moment was poured out. Sin, all the wrath of every sin that would ever be committed in the history of humanity was poured out on Jesus Christ. And He knew at that moment, God the Father was going to turn His back on His Son. But you know what He says? He says, in my prayer, I want to align it with the will of God. And He says, now, Dad, here's my will, but I'm not interested in it. I'm interested in Yours. Boy, it'd be a good day when we want Him to answer our prayers, when we come to that place where we say, God, I'm just interested in Your will. I'm just interested in what God, here is mine. Here is mine, and you know, me and Miss Tina was talking about some things earlier this week, and I'll not go into all of that. And in my mind, I've said, God, now here's a timeline for this. But you know what? God's timeline might be completely different. And what we have to do is come to that place where we say, Lord, it's not my will. I want Your will to be done. So number one, how do we get Him to answer? We approach God with the right heart. Number two, we align our prayers with God's will. But number three, we accompany our prayers with action. Now I'm right now done. We accompany our prayers with action. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 6. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 6 says this, and I'll just read it to you off the screen. There it is. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto man. Don't go to Mark 11, 25. Yep, that's where I'm headed. So if we are accompanying our prayer with action, then our prayer has to have gratitude. It has to have gratitude. What did he say? He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. What do we thank him for? In everything, give thanks. In everything. That's hard to do. Somebody give me a witness right there. That's hard to do. I lost my job. You want me to thank God for that? I stumped my toe. You want me to thank God for that? He said, in everything, give thanks. And if God's going to hear our prayer and answer our prayer, we have to accompany our prayer with action, not only with gratitude, but Mark 11, 25 says this, not only with gratitude, but with forgiveness. When you stand praying, forgive. Even if you have aught against any, let your Father also which is in heaven, may that your Father also which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. If you can't forgive, why should God forgive you? But preacher, you don't know what they done to me. Any worse than what we done to God? Is any worse than we've treated God? Well, I've not treated God bad. Do we need to put every thought that you've had today up on the screen? Do we need to get your device and show everything that's been looked at over the past year on it? Let's just be honest. How much time did you spend praying today? How many hours did you spend reading your Bible today? You know, we can set aside time for everything else. We can block out time for everything else. And there's nothing wrong with scheduling things. So why can't we schedule time with God? You see, if God's going to hear us, if God's going to hear us and God's going to answer us, we've got to approach Him right. We've got to align our prayers with His will, but we've got to accompany our prayers with action. We've got to not only be willing to be thankful, but we've got to be willing to forgive and to let go of it. So what? Well, they're never going to change. Okay. Say, preacher, that's easier said than done. It's really not. It's a choice. My wife will tell you what I'm fixing to say. And I think that she'll tell you in sincerity. If she don't, she's wrong. But I think she'll tell you in sincerity. Here's the truth. I don't hold grudges. The guy just told you about. She knows the situation that I'm talking about. What good does it do? Let me tell you what it does. It causes you to live in prison of someone else. Well, they ain't controlling me. Well, you really got yourself fooled. Because they are. You know, one said this, bitterness and unforgiveness is like drinking a deadly poison and expecting someone else to die. Yeah. Expecting someone else to die. You say, you don't know what I'm going to say about you after. Okay. I'm going to forgive you whether you ever ask me to or not. I'll tell you the reason why. It's what Christ would do. I'm not trying to be some super Christian. I'm just being honest with you tonight. Not only what Christ would do, it's the simple thing to do. It's the right thing to do.